wanted to talk to you about the simplicity of the gospel. Not just the simplicity of the gospel, but believe it or not, there's only one true gospel. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, came back from the dead, told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So whatever it is, it should be what everybody needs to hear. There is not two gospels or three gospels or four gospels or five. There's only one message that tells us how to go to heaven. And every preacher, believe it or not, every preacher should tell people the exact same thing. There ought not be differences in how a person goes to heaven. Somebody is lying. And I want to tell you how you can recognize the true gospel from the false gospel. Because the Bible is the proof of the evidence. The evidence is in the Word of God, and that's what we want to discuss. In the Bible, it says in chapter 11 of Romans, it says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. In other words, the gospel must be free, and it must last forever. If any one of those is missing, that preacher is not teaching the gospel. It has to be free. It has to last forever. It cannot include any works of any man in any size for any length of time. The gospel is good news. Now, if I walked up to you and says, would you like to know how to go to heaven? And you say, yes. And I told you, keep the Ten Commandments. That is not good news. Because nobody has ever kept the Ten Commandments and never will. So wouldn't it be a shame to tell somebody to do something they cannot do and never has done and never will be done? So you tell people, would you like to go to heaven? Yes. All you have to do is turn from your sins. You know, repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. And a lot of people will tell you that's what you must do to go to heaven. If a preacher tells you, you must turn from your sins to be saved, what is he saying? He's saying, I have. And he hasn't. I've never met one man yet that's turned from all of his sins. If you had to turn from them, which ones? The big ones or just the little ones? Or would it include all of them? So what you're telling a lost man to do is totally impossible for him to do. To turn from sin takes power steering, and they don't have the power to do it. They may have the desire to do it. You may want to live a perfect life, but you are incapable of doing that. So that's why if salvation is by grace, it cannot be by works. But if it is by your works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, either you're saved by grace or you're by your works, but it cannot be by both. So you can't say, I'm going to trust Christ as Savior, plus, I'm going to trust going to church, living a good life, changing my life, stopping my sins as much as I can, promise to be good as I can. That will not save you. You must trust Christ and Him alone. It's by grace and grace alone. Works of any kind by any person annuls salvation by grace. You can't have it both ways. It's either free or you have to earn it. So God says you cannot earn it. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you hear what I'm saying? Can you understand that? It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Unless you don't want to hear. If you want to know the truth that's found in the Bible is that a man is saved by grace. So in Titus in chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So I've already been saved. I'm not trying to be saved. I've already been justified. I'm not seeking to be justified. I am already a child of God. I'm not going to be a child of God. I already have eternal life. I'm not trying to get eternal life. And once you trust Christ as Savior, He gives you the free gift, everlasting life. That's past tense, already done, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You were not saved because you did some good deed. You are not saved because you gave money, you went to church. You must understand that. And yet you'd be surprised how many people think. They think how you live determines where you go. It does not determine where you spend eternity. God has already said, not by works of righteousness. Think about what God says. You cannot earn it. If a man could earn his way to heaven, then we would not have to have salvation by grace. But you cannot. He says in Titus 3:6, which he shed, past tense, on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I am already saved, not going to be saved. And the gospel, once again, it has to be free, and it has to last forever. Because, see, if it's free, why can't it last forever? If you ever hear of any preacher who tells you you can lose your salvation, that preacher does not understand the gospel. Either you're saved forever or you're not saved at all. You either have eternal security or no security. My confidence that I'm going to heaven whenever I die is not based upon Yankee Arnold any way, shape, or form. It depends upon what Christ did on the cross for me. He paid for my sins. That was the best news that I ever heard. And the devil is always a-working in the background. He says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you could earn your way to heaven by your good deeds, then God would be in debt to you to give you salvation because you earned it. If you earned it, then it wasn't free. It's either got to be free or you got to earn it. And God says, not by works. So it's not by your works. No man has ever lived good enough, or woman has ever lived good enough to go to heaven because of their good deeds. That's why we all need the good news, the salvation that comes only by knowing what Christ did on the cross for us. When Christ died on the cross, how many of my sins were in the future? All of them. He died 2,000 years ago. So before I was ever born, he died and paid for all of my sins. Now think this through. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want me to do it. He paid for my sins so that I wouldn't have to pay for my sins. And he came back from the dead. Because you see, the reason he died for me is he loved me so much. He would rather die than live without me. He loves you so much. He would rather die than live without you. That's why he died for you. So he came back from the dead. And the only thing he wanted you to do about what he did was to believe he did it for you. So when you believe he did it for you, he puts that payment to your account. So you have a payment for what? All my sins. From the time I'm born to the time I die. He said, it's appointed unto every man once to die, and after this the judgment. So every man only dies once. So Christ only had to die once to pay for all of my sins. And when he did, he says, go into all the world in book of Luke in chapter 24. And he says, preach the forgiveness of sins. If Christ came up here right now and he looked at you and said, I forgive you of all your sins, then there's no debt against you. If he forgave you of all your sins, there's no reason why you can't go to heaven. That means in God's, it's just like you had never done anything wrong. Like you had never sinned in your life. Like you have been perfect all your life. That's what Christ did for us when he died on the cross and paid for all the sins of all the world. What if Abraham were justified by works? He hath whereof the glory, but not before God. If he could save himself by his good deeds, he can glory and brag about that, but not before God. Because God says no man is justified in God's eyes by his works. He says in Titus 3 and verse 7, that being justified, just as if I had never sinned, by his grace. Now you can either accept the good news that God will do this for you and don't cost you anything, or you can work yourself to death and slave yourself and be under the burden of trying to earn your way to heaven by all of your good works, only to come up and find out it will not save you. And that's where a lot of people are going to be for the rest of eternity. They never trusted Christ as their Savior. It says in Galatians 2:16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody will ever be justified before God because he tried to keep the law. Now you can try it, but you can't do it. You're not perfect. You're not righteous. You're unjust. But this is why salvation cannot include man's efforts, or man would be able to boast and brag before God, look what I've done. The only reason I'm going to heaven is not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ did for me. And the reason I have no sins to pay for, because he paid for all of mine. So you say, Yankee, how do you know you're not going to hell? I can't go to hell if I tried. I haven't tried. I can't go to hell. Why? I don't have any sins to pay for. The reason I can't go to hell in the future, he paid for those too. I have a payment for all of my sins. Jesus Christ, when he came back from the dead, he had the scars in his hands and his feet. That means he is a living proof of payment. He is my receipt. When you go get gas or you go get groceries, they give you a receipt. That's your proof that it was paid for. Christ was my payment, and he is my living receipt. I have a receipt that says all my sins are paid. There is absolutely no way I could ever go to hell today or in the future. Why? Because I have no sins to pay for. Christ died for my sins. It's either true or it's all a joke and it's all a lie. And people can believe whatever they want. And so multitudes of churches are filled with preachers who are telling people a bunch of lies about how to go to heaven. They tell them you have to commit your life to Christ, not to go to heaven. You don't. You don't have to make Jesus Christ the Lord and the master of your life in order to go to heaven, because that's a promise that you're going to commit yourself to serve God in order to go to heaven, which makes your salvation based upon your works. And you don't tell a lost man he's got to turn from his sins to be saved, because that's works for salvation, something he cannot do, he doesn't have to do, and no man has ever been given the authority by God to teach that lie. I hope that my convictions are slowly leaking out. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says this: Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever of you are seeking to be justified by the law. Any person who's trying to save themselves by how good they are, God says Christ is no effect unto you. You can't be saved unless you trust what Christ did, and that alone. So living a good life, that's good. That's fine. But it doesn't help save you at all. You see, the law in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, demanded perfection. But Calvary provided perfection. I'm going to heaven because God hath made me in his eyes just as if I had never sinned. He has made me perfect. You see, what does a perfect person look like? Ta-da! I am righteous and perfect and just in God's eyes, because he loved me so much. He paid for all my sins and gave me his righteousness. If he gave me his righteousness, that would make me as righteous as God. If he gave me his perfection, that would make me as perfect as God. If he justifies me, that means I am just like God. And he finds no fault in me. There's no reason for God to ever cast me out. He cannot lose me. So once you're saved, you're always saved. You can only get saved once. You can't get saved twice. He can only give you eternal life once. He can't give it to you twice. If a man could lose his salvation, there ought to be at least one verse in the Bible that says you can lose your salvation. But there is not one. There's not one illustration in the Bible that says you can lose your salvation. And if a man could lose his salvation and get saved again, there ought to be at least one verse or one story, one illustration that teaches that. But not one time is it ever found in the Bible. Because God never saves somebody and then loses somebody. He saved me when I was 18 years old, gave to me a free gift of everlasting life. And it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't hope I'm going to heaven, or guess I'm going to heaven, or think I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I want to ask a question. How many of you here right now know you're going to heaven when you die? Raise your hand. All right, put it down. You raise your arm, you lose your charm. Now, not everybody is able to raise their hand. But you see, it's not because they're so much better than you. They have admitted to God, I am a sinner, and I cannot save myself, and so I trusted Christ as my Savior. Two of my favorite verses, found in Ephesians 2 in verse 8 and 9.
For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift of God, not of yourselves, not of works. It tells you what the gospel, the good news is, and tells you what it is not. And no preacher has any authority to make up his own gospel and say, God said, when God didn't say that. God did not tell people they had to do anything to be saved except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we believe that salvation is free. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 7 and verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, made no one perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, which is salvation by grace. In other words, you can't make yourself perfect, but God can make you perfect. He can forgive you of all your sins as though you hadn't committed a one. And he can declare you as righteous as he is because he took all of your sin. That's what he did. Otherwise, what is the value of Christ died for my sins? It has no value to it. Why are people trying to earn their way to heaven? Now, after you trust Christ as Savior, which I did 62 years ago when I was 18 years old, I decided after I trust the Lord, I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. I fell in love with God. So can you trust Christ as your Savior and then live as you please? Of course you can. A preacher says you can't. He doesn't understand it. Get out of that church. Don't give him a nickel. Don't support any missionaries that are not clear and true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, after you trust Christ as Savior, and God gives you that eternal life, I begin to read the Bible and study the Bible, and I found out something. God says if I would serve Him, not to get to heaven, but if I would serve Him because I love Him and appreciate what He did for me, He said He'd bless my life. I've tried Him. He has richly blessed my life. And He's given the peace and the joy and the love that He promised in His Word. I also know that if I don't serve the Lord, my Heavenly Father can chastise me. He can chasten me. He says some are sick and some are weak and some are taken home before their time. And so, yes, I know my daddy used to whoop the tar out of me. You say, what's that mean? He almost killed me. I think I died several times. But I'm talking about when parents used to whoop the kids. I mean, whoop them. I got so many whoopings. But I found out that I'd rather have God's blessings than have God chastens. So I decided, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm only going to get one trip through life. No reruns, no instant replays. One trip through life. And I want to see just how much can I do for the Lord while I can. I just came to the conclusion, see, I don't want people to go to hell. It took me 5 years to reach my mom. A few more years it took me to reach my sister. And finally my brother and my other sister, they all trusted Christ as Savior. Because, see, a poor presentation of the gospel is better than no presentation of the gospel. A poor presentation is better than a false message. And many people are believing a false message. And if you ask them, where are you going to die? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven. Why don't you know you're going to heaven? The only reason you say you hope is because you believe somehow how you live determines the outcome. And you think like I used to. You have to wait till you die. You stand before the judge. He puts your good works on one side and all your bad ones on the other side. And you see which one outweighs the other to determine which way you go. Isn't that a little late? What if it's the wrong direction? God says it's free and it lasts forever. So when I trusted Christ, He gave me the free gift of everlasting life. If it's everlasting life, how long would it last? Forever? Well, if it lasts forever and all my sins are paid, where am I going to go when I die? I'm going to heaven when I die. See, I don't have to wait. But He says in the book of Romans in chapter 4 and verse 5, He says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. You see, yeah, but what about all those wicked, wicked people out there? Don't worry about those wicked, wicked people out there. You're one of them. All have sinned. There is no difference. You may not have done what some people have done, but you've thought about it. Somebody said, how come you and your wife have lived for almost going on 63 years? It's simple. We don't get a divorce. And yet, we ever discuss murder? Well, maybe. But it's so good to understand God doesn't double talk. He can't give it to you with one hand and then yank it away with the other hand. The gospel is the good news of how we can go to heaven. So he says in Galatians 3 and verse 11, he says, but that no man is justified in the sight of God, it is evident. It's the evidence. No man, what he's telling you, is no man goes to heaven because of how you live. And yet most people think that how you live determines whether you go to heaven or hell. You don't get it. It's free. F-R-E-E. Free. It's a gift. Not of works. It's not determined by how you live. What you gave up. And what you promised to do. You don't promise God anything. All you needed to do is the only thing you could do. And that's believe. And you don't mix law and grace. Now get this. Salvation by grace eliminates works by 100%. But salvation by one work eliminates grace by 100%. You see, you're either got to be saved by your grace or by your works. But you can't be saved by both ways. You're either going to trust Christ as your Savior or you're not. God, get this. God can only give eternal security because grace cannot provide God a reason to take it away. If God saves me by grace that I didn't deserve, grace does not give God a way to cast me out. Grace cannot give God a way to take my salvation away from me. Grace means unmerited. So there's nothing that I have to do to merit getting it or merit keeping it. When you understand that, it's the greatest freedom in all the world. To be able to live your life, I know I have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And I've got good news for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. And I don't worry about with your religion. I said, either you've trusted Christ or you haven't. I said, there's two kinds of Baptists. The kind that's going to heaven and the kind that ain't. There's two kinds of Methodists. The kind that's going to heaven, the kind that ain't. There's two kinds of Catholics. The kind that's going to heaven, the kind that ain't. The kind that's going to heaven is the only kind that have trusted Christ as Savior. I don't care if you're a Baptist or a foot washing Aborigine or whatever you might be. You're not going to heaven until you trust Christ as your Savior. Not because you belong to a church or a particular denomination. Salvation that requires works produces a reason to doubt your salvation. For example, there are preachers who do that. They'll give you 10 reasons how to know you're really saved. If you're really saved. When they say truly saved, really saved, what they mean by that is that you've got to do some works too to prove it. And so there's always those fruit inspectors. You may be one of them. You get out your magnifying glass and you begin to check how everybody's living. Ah, I know they're not a saved. I know they're not a Christian. I mean, if they're a Christian, they wouldn't do that. And God bless you. Who gave you the magnifying glass and made you the Pope of all things? You do not have any evidences of salvation. There are none because your new birth is a spiritual birth and you cannot see it. You can see me, but the only way you would ever believe that I've trusted Christ as my Savior is because I told you so, based upon what the Word of God says. You can't say, well, I know he's a Christian, but he goes to church. He lives a good life. He sings in the choir. He's a deacon. That has absolutely nothing as far as evidences that you're going to heaven. So if I gave you 10 reasons how to know you're really saved, you'll go to church, you'll read your Bible, you'll witness, you'll pray, you'll do all blah, 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 blah. I just gave you 10 reasons to doubt your salvation. If you had to look at your life to prove that the way you live, that you're a genuine, authoritative Christian, it would prove you're not. If you examined your life by what you do and don't do and how you think, the evidences will prove you're not saved. That's why you can't go by that. You have to go by what did God say? Christ walks up here and he offers you eternal life. And you accept it. You've got eternal life. Now how do I know I'm saved? He said so. My authority comes from what the book says. And the book doesn't change. It's not determined by my feelings that I have. But by what the Word of God says. You know that good works did not save you, is not now saving you, nor will be the securing factor of your salvation in the future. I was saved 62 years ago. That cannot change. God can't change it. It cannot be altered. I know that I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did on that cross for me. And that's why I think it's the most important thing for anybody. Now, you may be here today. You could have gone to church all your life. But that is not going to get you into the pearly gates. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, why not trust the Lord? You see, a person has to have something missing upstairs not to accept the free gift of eternal life from God Himself. Something has to be wrong, because trusting Christ is a sign of good judgment. A person would have to be a fool to turn it down. And if they turn it down, they are a fool. Now, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to bow your heads. Not yet. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you, will you trust Christ as your Savior? I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to have you sign a card. I don't want anything from you. I'm going to get in my motor home and I'm going to be motoring. And I may see you one of these days. I'm hoping that the next time I come up here, they'll let me preach from the inside of the church. It's always been on the outside. Maybe they'll let me come inside one of these days. But look up here, and I want you to follow me real close. Watch this hand very closely. At no time will my hand ever leave my wrist. This is you and me. We all represent sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us, hates our sin. But He loves us. He loves you. He just don't like what you do wrong. You love your kids, don't you? You just don't like what they do wrong. Now, God says to go to heaven, we have to be perfect. But nobody's perfect. But because we've sinned, we can't get in. So we're to be eternally separated from God in a literal fire burning hell. That's why we need to be saved, so that I don't go there. And God says, you can't save yourself. No amount of good works is ever going to change your sinful nature. We're sinners. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. He came into the world because He loves us. Now, He hates our sin because our sin separates us from Him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. What did He do about this problem? He took our sins. How many? All of them. For who? Everybody. Paid for all the sins of the world and came back from the dead. And all He wanted you to do is believe He did it for you. Can you handle that? If that's all He wanted you to do, could you believe that? If you'll believe it, He says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's us, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that's us, believeth in Him. Believe He paid for your sins. Guarantees two things in John 3:16. One, you shall not perish. You can't go to hell, but have everlasting life. Go to heaven. And all He wanted you to do is believe He did it for you. And so whenever you want to, how do you go to heaven? You got to be good? No, there is no such place as a good heaven. There's a perfect heaven, but there's no good heaven. And you got to be perfect to go there. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, He takes that payment and it's applied, and all of your sins are gone. You say, but I still do things wrong. It was covered. You ever get an insurance policy on a car or health insurance and you want to know what's covered? What's covered? It's covered. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin and whose sins are covered. That's under the insurance policy. It covers all of them. That's why it's by grace. All of it's by grace. If you trust Christ as your Savior, I'd like to know. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment, raising your hand. Raising your hand, that won't save you. It just lets me know that what I said made sense to you. And you say, preacher, that made sense to me. And I will trust Christ as my Savior today. And I want to have prayer for you. Now, I told you what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to do it. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. In the quietness of this moment, just between you and the Lord, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, Would you trust him right now? I want to know if what I said made sense to you. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. Raising your hand is just to let me know. It doesn't save you. And you don't have to raise your hand. And you don't have to let me know. But I sure would like to know. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is anyone at all say, Yankee, that made sense to me. And I will trust Christ as my Savior today. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? God bless you and you and you. Yes, I see hands all over. There are many of you. God bless you. There's so many. I mean, there had to be 30 or more hands. Anyone else? Just really quickly, just put it up and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Maybe out there in the back, there might be people watching online. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. And even people in, sitting in their cars. And if you're watching and you're watching online, trust Christ as your Savior. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We ask your blessings upon Bob Dean and his church, the good people he's got that work so hard putting all these things together. And we thank you, Lord, for those people who work hard getting people out to come. And for these that indicated by an uplifted hand that they would trust your Savior. We ask your blessings upon each and every one of them. We thank you for this time. And help us, Lord, as your children, to walk with you, to talk to you, and to serve you, not to get to heaven, but because we're going there. Use these people, Lord, to encourage others to get them out under the sounds of the gospel. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.